You might know her from Real Housewives of Durban, but she has since left her mark as an entertainer and entrepreneur in the entertainment space. We speak to Nonka Williams.
Yes, Umzanzi Celebville is filled with flavor.
But you know that ge o batla go tseba gore fame e re mongwaneng, or who secured the latest bag,
or just who's dripping with sauce,
and who's adding the spice.
Jonga yongi into nje.
Because if it's hot, then it's definitely in the chisa pod.
Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday from Chisa Life / Joy. Happy birthday to you.
Thank you so much.
What are we celebrating the most? Because what a year.
Well, actually celebrating the very years that God has given me. You know, I'm 42 today and I could not be more proud of everything I've been through, the hardships, the failures, everything, even my achievements, you know, because in each and everything that I've experienced, there was a lesson to learn. And I could not have had it any other way. So I'm actually eternally grateful. Being turned around kakhulu uNkulunkulu because it's just been there in my pillar. You know, I'm grateful for my family, my mom, she's been a lot of my friends, and yeah, so for me, I'm actually celebrating life. I'm celebrating the more years that I know anything from the Arizona. I'm celebrating my children. Oh, my God, this morning, I just looked at them and I just cried because I saw my kids planning, about Juba planning, and I could hear, you know, it was just this, I was so deep. And then they came with the cake and some flowers and some balloons, and they came and sang. You know, I'm like, my God, thank you so much. You see, you know, nothing goes unnoticed in the kingdom of God. You don't get any Samayo, who does notice, and my kids do notice because, should say, I'm raising them well. You know, it's something I can actually take myself on at the best for. So yeah, I'm grateful. More than anything, I'm just celebrating life.
And obviously the fact that, you know, your kids did this whole amazing thing for you for your birthday, the Real Housewives of, Durban, them painting you as a different whatever else, on the show, but the fact that you're a mother was a big deal. It kind of like affected your image as a mother. How exactly did it hurt you or affect you rather?
To be honest, because you know, this was the second wave. There was the first wave. It really, really did hit me hard. You know, obviously, it was the first time being on reality TV or on that platform, so to speak. So yes, I've always noticed that there was backlash, there was Black Twitter, there was all of these things. But to actually experience such a thing, I'm thinking, oh my man, I did not want to get out of my bed for days because I totally think, can such hatred exist? Especially to somebody that you don't even know, that you've never even walked a mile on, you know. And I think for a moment there, I forgot who I was. So it did affect me, but yeah, by the grace of God, you know, I got over it. And yeah, and then life carried on. And so I had to remind myself, no, man, these people don't know you. I know who I am. I know what to be the miles that I've walked. And I know also that my family and myself had reunion, which I don't want to get into right now. So those people, they don't know the full story. Yeah, you understand? So and so this time around, I took it very well. I mean, I did not even know. I saw that I was trending and all of that. Okay, this time again. But I'm not bothered at all because we are brothers and sisters. I know what I stand for, and nobody can find me except for my Jesus Christ. So I am more than okay.
We'll get into your defining yourself despite the public, but how exactly did it affect you? And did you have to, I know right now therapy is not necessarily like a taboo, so how did you resolve and dissolve?
You know, I gave myself time. You know, time heals everything, obviously. And, you know, and I knew which was going to quiet down. You know, I know this is in Zanzi after all. You know, there's always a story of every single day. The very same people that told me, or they called me out, know, that were backlashing and just saying all those things. But the very one that came back 3 or 4 days later and said, you know what, I forgive you. I had to remind myself, one day I'll put another message that somebody said, but I had to remind myself that you are also human. You know, you make mistakes, but it doesn't define who you are. You know, you just had a moment. And I actually appreciated for her to say something like that, you know, if in their eyes I was wrong for what I did. But who are they to judge? She actually said that, but who are we to judge? Because God is our only judge. Because these people were actually saying very cruel and mean things, saying that we actually belong in hell. I mean, to actually utter such things, it's so troublesome. In fact, I actually feel sorry for those people, because even the Bible says, we think to see that it's himself. Because I am a child of God. That's what I know. I don't need anyone to tell me otherwise, because I know who I am. So I gave myself time to actually get over it. And the very people, as I said, they're the ones that came back and they told me they love me. And, you know, so, yeah, time healed everything. And, so that was that for me.
But how is it now having to relive all of these misconceptions about you now that it's airing again on Mzansi Magic?
I kid you not. I did not even know it was airing. It was only then when I heard somebody telling me, what's happening? You are trending. Like, that's when I knew, okay, it's the time, all right. So I just made sure I'm off social media. In fact, what I did is the last two posts that I posted that day, I muted my comment section so that they could not comment. So I knew, unfortunately, I don't visit Twitter the least. I'm not even a checker. So I made sure I stayed on Twitter, and because I just, obviously, as much as I'm not bothered, but it doesn't mean I want to read those things. It doesn't mean I want to hear about them. So I just carried on about my life, and this is different things, but I did not shy away like I did the first time around. So I did not leave an energy or anything like that. I went around with my business, to Benza and going to places. So I was visible. People saw me, they thought whatever they thought me, and honestly, I was not bothered at all.
So your social media personality, we'll put it as that, because obviously it's not all of you that you're putting out there. How do you pick and choose, you know, which side of it that you put out? Because you're quite candid, as people would say. Candid, rather transparent in the stuff that you put out there. And recently, obviously, it being your son's birthday, you disclosed certain information that I guess people should have known. But yeah, just how would you actually even describe your social personality, and just like, what do you decide on putting out there on social media?
You know, with me, what you see, what you get. You know, people that are close to me will tell you, you know, my problem is that I don't know how to be somebody else. You know, I don't know how to put on shoes of somebody else, you know. So everything that I put there, my life is open like that, because you know what, how you perceive that I put out there is up to you. You know, I mean, I believe that we go through kind of things, we go through things for other people's here. You know, I went through stuff, and I know there are people out there that have been through even before me. Those people, they're the ones that helped me to get through whatever I was going through. So what you see on social media is exactly how I am in real life, which is my real life, you know. So there's no filter for me, you know. I live my life, and I post whatever, and I have absolutely nothing to hide, and I have nothing that I'm ashamed of, you know. My life is not perfect. It's far from it. I have my bad days. I have my good days. But even in those bad days, I just choose always to bring my own sunshine in whatever circumstance. Yeah.
How exactly do you do it? I know you keep on mentioning God and whatnot, but how exactly do you get through these challenging times that you, or whatever mountains, how do you get over the obstacles that you face emotionally or whatever else?
My darling, it's only and only and only God, you know. And most people, just going back to what you said earlier, most people don't know, like, what they don't know. They don't know what a prayer what a prayerful woman I am. I sit with God, I pray, I meditate. I know my Bible like I know the back of my hand. You know, I believe in Him so much. I have faith in Him so much. I don't know anything else. I was taught. That's what I was taught, you know, growing up. My mom is a prayer warrior. There were times when I couldn't pray. I knew my mom prayed. I knew my dad was praying. So even my children, we are everything in us is a prayer. You know, especially if it is, even if I'm, when I'm not home, you know, I'd make sure I check with the Sakuluma, with video call, with whatever. But when I'm home, we all gather around in my room, and we all share verses, you know, each day, they know, they all have them, I'm a special, who's sharing a word with us. For instance, yesterday was Matilda's turn, so she shared a verse with Psalm 74, and, you know, share a verse, which is saying, commit your way to the Lord, and He will give you the desires of your heart. So we sit around, and we share a verse, and we meditate, we sing, we worship. Even my youngest son, spent a little bit before, you know, he sings. He knows the worship song, so we sit. My children, I'm teaching my children to grow up in the knowledge and the fear of God, just like I did. So when people see me, because I am free. I am, this is who I am. We relate to us the way that we are. So I'm not going to pretend to be somebody else just because we can be a caller. But we have a caller. For me, it is a relationship with Christ. It's not a religion for me. I have a relationship with that one, and God, and God alone who is there for me every single step. Whatever challenge I face, I know I'll come out the other side stronger and better because I'm running it.
Another thing is the fact that when it comes to social media and being on a reality show, sometimes women tend to be pit against each other. So how do you bridge the gap between, you know, just pursuing? Obviously, I'm pretty sure it might have contributed to your work in some way, just being on the reality show. But how do you bridge the gap between making sure that somehow women stand together and at the same time, pursuing your own goals, and reality shows obviously are bad and whatnot?
Yeah, it's a pity that Israel Housewives, a show as a whole, franchise, has the controversy that it does. Because, you know, I remember when it started, when they started with the promo, and I remember messages that I used to get with, oh gosh, is there going to be drama? And all of that, you know. So I think more than anything, one needs to be true to themselves, you know. And, you know, there's no reason to be bitchy, so if I can just, like, put it out like that. You know, you need to be true to yourself, and, yeah, and also just call things out as they are, like, but at the same time, you know, there's this thing, it's a positive criticism, you know, if you see something, because at the end of the day, it's a show. If we're talking reality shows, it's a show we need to entertain, but without you being cruel, you know, and I know a lot of times, in my diary, if I can just make a reference to that, I would be very spicy and very, my shades and all of that. That was just an element of entertaining, but it's got something that's whatever you say, you need to stand up for even in front of the person. But you're not necessarily to put anyone down or to belittle anyone. So I think it's just being true to yourself, and also just consider everyone who is there, they're made in the image of God, and also just remembering that and have humanity in all that you do, you know. Yeah, and there's no need to be telling you. If somebody, especially social media, they've been saying all of these things and done, but I have no time to respond to such things. I have no time to research. The Bible says, you do not argue with the fool. So if I do ask, because no one will notice the difference. So there are, I not to say with most people are false, but I choose my battles, basically. So I'm just not even going to bother.
And what are some of the misconceptions that have built up that you would like to dispel about yourself? Obviously, people have your image wrong, and you would just like to, you know, set the record straight.
I've just made a reference to the reunion, the second part of the reunion, where Ufet Joe asked Obuti from the pastor, and then they made it to be like it's a joke. I am cold, because then I can tell you now I am cold. people that are close to me will know that. Anyway, I don't even need for people to know, because I know now, because of God. I know what God has done for my life. I know what God has said to me. And then we go to the room, okay, she's a pastor, and yes, we have Punza. And because it's one of the misconceptions that people have, and that is the religion. Okay, we are Punza. And because if I can tell, it was God that gave me the idea of having this wine. I know it's blessed by Him, because I know my father very well. Because the Bible claims that people say, do not be drunk by wine, but drinking wine, there's nothing wrong. I can even quote some of the scriptures, where Paul was telling Timothy, he said, drink your wine because of your many illnesses, you know. So I don't even have to go and prove myself to people, because you know what, Mina, the person that I fear, the only person I fear is God. I have reverential fear of God. So I'm not going to live my life for the bantu. As if, and then within your private truth and telling me things, you know. So, what do you see? What you get? Even God knows me, understands me, you know, as I said earlier, which relates to me the way that I am. So, in my misconception is that people think I'm this wild, Christian, First and foremost, I am a mother, a very loving mother. I live for my kids, I do everything for them, I respect my kids. And I'm also a businesswoman, I'm a child of God. And I'm just a free-spirited woman that loves to fun, that loves to love and make enjoy. I'm just free. You know, what you see, like, food reality show is exactly who I am, even on my social media, you know. I just do things like that. I'm so young at heart, you know. The fact that I'm 42, I don't even feel 42. I feel 22. So, yeah, that's just who I am.
So, when you mentioned that, I mean, I hear what you're saying. But I just have to just dig into that question again, that answer rather, when you say that, you know, alcohol is blessed and whatnot, so you don't get drunk at all.
My darling, no, I do. Obviously, I do get tipsy, and when that happens, I won't lie to you, you know, because it's catch fun, no, 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 it's just too. When I say to you, when I go to bed, I need to be sober. Because this is where I meditate. That's when it's the most quiet and dreamy, because obviously I've got kids and so who can see me throughout the whole day. So I sit, I meditate. I've got my meditation corner that I go to, and I meditate and I read the word and I spend time with God, you know. Times we are also moving a little later. Sometimes it'll be very early hours of the morning, just maybe lying on the floor, prostrate on the floor, worshiping Him. So it bothers me a lot if I will go to bed drunk. You know, I'm the type of person that I'd rather wake up in the morning and have a mimosa, because I know Wuti. And also, it's important, Wuti, like, okay, I mean, I love my own space. I would do it sitting at home with three of my friends or with my children, talking music, dancing and doing all of that, rather than going to a club and doing all of those things. So it's necessary to work. I keep my company with. You know, so going back to answer your question, yes, at times where I do get tipsy. Obviously, if you don't drink wine, you're going to have one bottle right there, and then get to another one. You will get that. Hence, I avoid going to places because of nah, yes, there are parties again, and other events rather. But I'm not a person to do those. Like, I told my friends, this guy is just going to go partying. I don't do that. I don't do such things. I sit in training, or if we're out, maybe at a restaurant, or if we're away, I sit at a restaurant with people that I trust, and I don't have a mature as well, you know, very different people. But people tend to harm back, we couldn't eat, what do they call it? I'm looking for. But I don't do such things. I'm not even enticed with anything to do with it.
Tell me a little bit also about your calling. When did you choose? I know, you know, in today's world, it's quite normal for people to accept the ancestral calling. You accepting a pastoral calling. Tell me a little bit about that and just your journey in that.
Yeah, I will say it. Because you know what, I have nothing to hide, but it's meant to be an issue. A lot of people don't believe it, and it's okay, you know. I don't say it for if a necessary to go to the call, but I actually, something I've always known that I was paying the way again. And I will never forget, it was 2005 when I heard the audible voice of God. When I say audible, I heard God's voice as you're talking to me right now. But his voice actually was not just a human voice. It was a voice that sounded like a trumpet that thundered and it called out my name. and I responded. I said, yes, Lord. And then I saw a vision that is aligned, a vision, a physical vision of Jesus Christ hanging on a cross with in what you call it, a crown with blood dripping on his face.
Mm.
And that's all he said. For many years, now, this was 2005, and I didn't understand what was that. And for the longest time, I was afraid to be alone in any room because it happened, I was alone. Because of that vision I saw, the voice I heard, you know, you can imagine. I think I was in my early 20s. So I just knew, and I just developed this love, and I was so drawn to God. And then I went to study theology. I studied theology for 3 years.
Mm.
Hence, I say I know the Bible. So I know all the doctrines. I studied because in my subconscious mind, it was just this love of God. I just wanted to know him. I remember when I used to attend my classes. I had Wednesday at 6 to 9. In the evening, no 3 hours for me, felt like 30 minutes. That's how much I loved being in his presence, you know. So, and it was just this love of God. And besides, I want to prophesy people that I don't know. I mean, I would go to church, people would prophesy, would say, I've been called. But I can't say any other, but I don't want to. I'm like, who am I? And just proclaim the word of God. What am I going to say? I'm such a sinner because I was so quick to condemn myself. I'm my worst self-critic. So I was just so afraid, but I knew. So eventually, after I graduated, I was ordained by a senior pastor, and I did practice teaching or preaching the Bible. So at one point, because of what I used to do. You know, I stopped practicing preaching after my divorce because I was going through the most. After I was separated. As I said, I have a relationship with Christ. It's, for me, it's not religion. Because I know without a shadow of doubt that God loves me and he accepts me and I have a right standing with him. So according to that I didn't choose, I was chosen.
And how has that journey been, in as much as you were chosen, having to dabble between the world's perspective of you and also just your spirituality and just where you stand with that?
Look, our own lives are very challenging at times because there's certain things that I know in my heart because the Bible says that if anything is not of faith, it is sin. So, for instance, I'll just put it out there. For me, I struggle with being in a relationship where we have to take it to the next level. For instance, yes, I'm human. I would have a moment where I've been, when nature calls, if I can put it like that, and I will find myself having indulged in a sin. But I can tell you now, I struggle because I know what if I doing so. I would feel, because you know what, he knows it's what human, at the end of the day, we are the Tagataga. He has the same as Savior. But it's something that I struggle with. So, my challenge is that comes up on. And I remember once told God, he said, I'm always telling him, Lord, I know that I don't want to get married again, because actually I do not want that. But at the same time, I'm longing to have a partner. So I said to God, you know what, can I have a partner that's actually been married? Because there's always the Bible which says this is sex before marriage is a sin. In fact, it speaks of sexual immorality. It speaks of the fact that our bodies are a temple of God. So to indulge in such things, you know, because you know, it's to condemn us. Because if a man runs away, you know what you're about to do is wrong. And I'm not saying I don't sin, I don't know things, I don't indulge. You know, but I love in my weakness, this is when God makes me stronger. So I know within my weaknesses I'm made strong. But it's not because there's no way the Bible doesn't say this as well, but there's no way if you are truly born of God you will continue sinning. Because it's a wound challenge, it's going to trouble you. It troubles me. I'm still young at heart, as I said, and I'm still young, I'm 42. I mean, I'm still young. I know, I would love to all write and all of that. But the challenge right now that I'm facing is that I know that I don't want to get married again. But I do long to have a partner, you know, a lifelong partner. you know, that shares the same values as I do. But, you know, I know, but one who has been faithful is going to make it even in the light. I don't know.
Just 2 minutes of your time again. I'm not going to take too much of it. I know we've already given the disclaimer. It's still your birthday. But what's your reason behind you not wanting to get married?
All right. Already I've got three kids, all right? The first one is with the next kid for money. And then I've got two boys from my previous marriage. Yeah, a lot of people say it was okay. Yeah, because recognizing and shocking, I won't lie. In fact, I'm sure I don't want to, because I knew before I got married, you know what, this is not it, it's not right. Because I remember one time I took a piece of paper and then I divided it in half. And then I write all the reasons why I should get married and all the reasons why I shouldn't. And I think there were only two reasons why I shouldn't. And the rest, I wrote everything that I did not like. You know, but yes, I'm not because I so much wanted to get married, you know. Hence, I really believe that, you know, I was more in love with the idea of getting married. I remember I would freak out because I would always slash my hand. I was twisted in that way, you know. I believed so much that she had to find me, you know. I didn't know who I was. So, and then, what the second thing, when God healed me from that, because nothing defines me, or nothing defines a person except for God. So that's when I got this friend to actually, you know, call it quits and say, no, I'm done, you know. So not yet, wanting to get married is number one, my son is a man, you know, my youngest is four, and I have a son, and also I have a teenage daughter. And between Putin and Inanza, especially my daughter, Putin, we're independent. We don't need a man to depend on, you know. And also, I don't want to have another semi brought into the house or to take up the space. Inanza, I mean, my children need me right now. Yes, they will grow up. Hence, I'm saying, Putin, maybe I would want to have a life partner. But right now, they're very fragile. They're young. They need my undivided attention. So I don't have, my children have never met anyone except they only know their father. So, and that's how I want to raise my kids. So, and I don't want to have a just done. I think also, to be quite honest with you, I have zero tolerance for patience. You know, nobody's perfect. So, I've tried other relationships before and I just realized it doesn't pay me, because you're perfect in my eyes, and no one is. And you know, so it's not fair for them. Certainly not fair for myself as well, because I just don't want to be going through this roller coaster of emotions. Yeah, so no. Maybe one day, I'm not saying, never say never. So,
never say never.
For now, no.
You speak of the paper that you wrote, the two reasons why you shouldn't get married. What were they?
No, the two reasons why I should. Because remember, I had a whole list why I shouldn't.
Only two reasons why you should.
I knew I should not have married this man. But I think what drove me the most was the fear. Because when we got married, I was already pregnant with my second born, but with his first child. So and already now, because I was brought in a way with him in Angushaka, get married, you know, and we kept ever after, you know. And if I can tell you now, I'm 21, I was a virgin. You know, my mom did the whole feast, I did the 21st party, Gasholwa, you know, that's how hectic it was. So I really believed. So when things went back up, because honestly, I had it when I was quite late. I was 28 when I had my first child. So now, okay, obviously the relationship didn't work out. So, and then, I met this man. Yes, he was interested in marrying me because within 3 months he proposed when he was coming to home and all of that. But I was already pregnant and I knew, I saw all the traits of the abuse. But in the end, the second alarm was that, you know, we were already pregnant with the second child, different surname, but we just disappeared and both. Which is ridiculous, right? But this is, I promise you that I believe that was my truth. You know, I gave it life. So it was, and he would tell me, because you know what, those people, they make you, they literally so much, he's actually doing you a favor. You know, I had such a very low self-esteem. I just didn't, not even, at that time I've always been a business woman, you know, I had my own business already, you know, so, but I just somehow that just ruled me, you know.
Mm.
So, yeah.
Have you had these personal conversations with yourself, with your kids as well? I mean, not your kids necessarily, but I know you have an older daughter who I guess is quite aware of everything that's happening around. Have you had these personal conversations that you've had with yourself with her as well?
Like about me and all of that, yeah. I'm only telling it, not telling it, because she loves the height of the things, you know. She loves, you know, reasons like me, I suppose, you know. So I tell her, you know what, no, I always say to her, I care for my business, I don't give you money for nothing. You know, so work hard, because she's smart, you know, she's so smart, you know, she's an A student, basically. So I say to her, work hard, and even if we have our own business, but no, we should put something to fall back on, you know. So I always tell her, just work hard and just have your own thing. Then that will come later in life, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So hence, that is why I want me, like, because we have to lead by example. You can't teach yourself shout something and then do the other. You know? So they have seen their mom doing exactly that. You know, so I've created a home at my house, a warm home that is where that is our foundation. So we share the word of God and that is what we speak.
How do you feel about now the backlash having received with your daughter, necessarily the older one, right?
The only daughter,
actually. With them having said, like, the backlash that you received personally, has she actually asked any questions relating to, but Sfisongwane wasn't a relationship and so, why did you, you know?
I don't know if you put it on social media, maybe you must, you know. Mm. She's actually blocked me, we must to actually read it on my social media, because I was like, the way she just brutally honest. She's really serious, right? Also, she was really young, and she's so much, she's only 14, but I promise you, Andowake, she's one person that is not, you know how teenagers are, peer pressures and all of that, wanting to fit in. She is nothing of the sort. She's very opinionated. She is, she doesn't go with the crowd. If she believes something, she will stand for that, and she's a very protective person.
Mm.
I just remember one incident, in the first wave, because people are so cruel. People are interested. I always say, I'm a guy shine. Honestly, they're crazy. So this one person, DM'd me to say, okay, how do you feel having such, I don't know what they use, but like, they were, like, you know, I don't know what they said about me. They're having me as a mother, you know, the fact that she wants to do iron than one. But how embarrassed are you? And you know, she responded. Of course, she responded to the woman who said, unlike me. She said to him or her, I don't know who it was. She said, the only embarrassing thing here is you telling me this. You know? Mm. I was like, wow. I mean, that time she said to him, she was like, the only embarrassing thing here is you telling me this. Mm. I mean, like, so, you know, she's the one that counseled me. She's the one, she counseled my mother. Because, oh man, like, she took it so, my mom is very sensitive, you know. In fact, I'm much more stronger than my mom. So she's the one that comes with my mother. They are the best of friends, you know. When you see this is my mom, oh my God, she's looking at the balala and tricks and you know, what do you talk about? They talk about everything. They talk about, men getting married and everything. And, all you have to do is just visit her page. Because I'm not allowed to, she loves me, but isn't it really cool? She's an amazing child. Amazing. Yeah. I couldn't have wished for a better daughter.
Yes, because you raised well, and congratulations on that one. One last question, because it's Women's Month. I just want to know how you focus on being a single mother and juggle entrepreneurship at the same time. That's the last question, and you can go.
All right. Being Women's Month, I love Women's Month because obviously it's my birthday, so my sweet army actually high throughout August 1st. But I thank God because, yes, I am a single mom and I'm an entrepreneur and I'm a businesswoman and all of that. But I've got such a good support structure. I've got my old prayer lady. Her name is April. She is a blessing. So she does everything. Like, okay, the only thing I do is I take my kids to school myself because I want to spend time with them in the morning. It's when you pray in the car. That's when I get to bless them. Obviously, for school, we will protect basically. Obviously, to know what's happening at school because I hardly have time. Then that lady sent me to April. No, she fetches them from school, does homework with them, extra meals, whatever that they need to do. So I have her. I also have my mom. I have my dad. So Drake, I have my siblings. So God has really blessed me, you know. And so, and I've got a good good helper. My nanny. So God has really given me such good people, you know, that are surrounding me, my children. So my children are safe. Even when I'm not home, I'm not even in any way bothered with, oh, my children are okay and all of that. So, yeah, and just, but you know what? I do practically everything myself. I have no support financially, emotionally, but God's been good since then.
Yes.
So I wonder as well sometimes, but yeah. You know,
so, yeah, he gives us strength. God is good. Happy birthday one more time. And thank you so much for taking the time out to chat to us.
It's my pleasure.